Hey, hockey heads, get ready for the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Each game day, answer four questions. Pick the winning team, guess if points will be over or under, predict the first goal, and choose the highest scoring period. Daily winners snag gift cards, while each round's champs pocket cold, hard cash. Play now at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess. It's fast, it's fun, and it's all about hockey. Let's go.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Smiles all around. Everybody pretty happy today?
It's a beautiful day out there.
Yeah.
Got on the bikes this morning. Sun's shining. Bluebird day in Calgary.
Bike lanes at least, so that's good.
Lots of lanes.
Well, there's more coming.
Building more. Yeah, that's good. No, I mean, I'm sure it's because you're here with us, right? I'm sure that's what it is.
I do bring sunshine and happiness.
He is vitamin D.
Sunshine.
Vitamin Rat.
What is that? Rainbows.
Sunshine, lollipopping. Rainbows.
It's something, though. The air is a little sweeter today, whatever it is.
Rhett came in and he said, what are you guys doing? Crack a window. It's beautiful out there. What a time to be alive. Well, so we have our first window open show today.
That and you stink in here. Well, so it was.
Yeah, it's a little foul. Foul. Welcome to the Tower Chrysler Studios. It's Barn Burner on a beautiful Monday.
So beautiful.
Tower Chrysler, the number one, everybody's favorite. Tower Chrysler, the number one Jeep, Dodge, Ram, Chrysler dealer
champs,
in Southern Alberta. 10901 McLeod Trail South, online towerchrysler.com. I wonder who got that gift card.
Gift card.
Only talked about it every day last week.
Of course.
You buy the vehicle from Tower,
they're going to
get the gift card for the spa. I wonder.
I thought you were changing gears on us.
No, I wonder. Some lucky devil. There's always something going on over at
Well, you get yourself a nice rig and you get to take care of mom at the spa.
Man. Yeah, damn right. Tower Chrysler.
Did we all survive Mother's Day? How'd that go? Right, you're out of town from, your mom and your wife.
Mother's Day was a bit of a mess. It was running around, winning championships. That's what we do. The Warner household.
Yeah.
Or just fall short. Just get really close and then.
Yeah.
Can't think of any of those.
No. So Mother's Day was not very mothersy. Mother drove from Toronto to Buffalo on Friday morning, and then back to Buffalo from Toronto to Buffalo on Saturday afternoon, and then Buffalo to Toronto on Sunday afternoon, and back to Buffalo Sunday night.
Those Border Patrol guys will be first name basis with the shoveling.
She's smuggling. Wow,
and she's muling. She's got a
smuggling darts up in the Wait a minute. There's no speakers in these.
Ma'am, is that a pack of ketchup chips in your bra?
What have you got? Is that coffee crisp?
You don't have to hide those.
So, I mean, it's, Mother's Day. Not great on our end. Yours was all right?
We had Aussie grandma here, my own mom, and then the mother of my children. So there was a lot of moms. We got a nice brunch done. I got some cards done, but I feel like the amount of work my hyenas have been that maybe I need something on top of the card that I wrote, as nice as, you know, that piece of prose was.
You can pass it off sometimes because it's Mother's Day. It's not, you know, the significant other, the person you live with is not.
You're not my mom.
I don't, what are you talking, why is this on me?
The boys had some work done at school. That's great art.
Kids
so that's their mom.
To be.
Yeah.
If they don't appreciate you, that's your you got to work it out with them.
That's right.
Big shout out to the teachers getting that done.
Easy to say from here.
Real tough over here. Yeah, damn right. So maybe it's because of, you know, Mother's Day being finally in the rearview mirror. Maybe it's the weather that Rhett's here. I'm not sure what it is, though.
It's a long weekend coming. That's what
like
it is.
Summer. It is.
May long.
One big dump of snow left. That's what it is. May long, you get screwed, maybe. And then it's the official beginning of summer. Once that last snow comes, that's fall spring right now, or fall summer, and then we do third winter, and then we're in.
Or maybe there's something else.
We're all wearing shorts.
Is there something we're missing? Is there what else could there be that would have us in such a jovial mood today?
Well, Blue Jays walk off. Rhett's going to games all the time. Oh, yeah. Big fan.
Big
must
fan.
Be jacked
about your Blue Jays.
I was worried about him.
Yeah. We got a game 7 tonight. That's got to be it.
Exciting.
And then something else. I don't know. Yeah.
Oh, Vegas 5-2 win over the Oilers last night. The Oilers are done. Yeah.
Is that series over?
Over. That was it last.
Because I had heard they had a commanding 1-1 series lead heading back to Edmonton.
I didn't. I saw that they were, really liking their lead in that 2-2 series.
So the trip to the beach didn't.
What was it?
Didn't turn out.
Laguna. That's where it was.
Huh.
I'll tell you what. Leon's up in 2 years. If I'm him, I'd settle right into that Pacific Coast community. He was on a heater coming out of Laguna. He needed to go back. Cooled right off after that 4-goal game in game 1.
It's not nice to take pleasure in other people's misfortunes, man.
It's not nice, but it's probably the real world.
But yet here we are, loving the shit out of it.
Just,
just loving every minute
like
of it.
Like a cozy blankie. Just
snuggle. Good.
It feels like if you are a true born and bred Calgarian, there is a spite for Edmonton that only, it can't be taught. It's just, it's part of you. This is one of those great days on the calendar. The Oilers are now done.
And you look at the scoring. It's perfect.
They did get 2 5-on-5 goals yesterday, but they were the only two. And we knew those power plays eventually would dry up. One opportunity last night.
Should have been more.
Probably should have been more.
Now, call me crazy. That Stuart Skinner save percentage, a little off. Check the math on that.
Oh, wait. So defense.
Check the math on that.
Yeah.
The 962, that's not 13 to 17. No, maybe like a 762?
Yeah.
So it's defense and
goaltending.
And goaltending is still relative to
this
game?
I guess
like
so.
It's part of how you have to.
I feel for Skinner. This was not what he was supposed to have to do. He's a rookie in his first full year in the league.
For Christ.
He's always feeling for Oilers.
Well, he's got a great mustache. Yeah. He doesn't MF his D when he lets him in from half court. I like the kid, but he should have been the backup all year. The $25 million goalie would have played himself out of the league if he was on a one-year deal. That's how bad it was with Campbell. They were missing what they tried to buy this summer, which was the number one goalie. You look at the goaltending they got in the postseason. It's awful. 3.5 a game.
I'm happy for it. I'm really good with it. I don't care if Skinner was the one that screwed it up. Great. Yeah.
He'll be back next year. He's got more chances. Don't feel. Hey, Ryan, don't feel too bad for him.
Yeah.
Who do I feel bad for?
You got to feel bad for Skinner. What if he played well and they're
don't
still
feel
playing
bad for him?
Oh, I'd feel bad about
really
that, too.
Yeah, you'd really feel bad then. Who do you feel bad for? Leon was choked up.
I would say
the
fans, except they've turned into absolute juveniles this playoff run. Like, it's the first time they've been.
Yeah.
People fighting each other. I'd say not the management team. No, not the owner. No, I don't really feel bad for anyone.
I said this to Wolfie this morning because, of course, he's part of that group.
The cult.
Maybe it's because it was over the weekend or whatever, and we kind of joke about it, the 1-1 lead or the 2-2 lead. It just felt like, the Oilers are, so they lost.
They just have another gear.
But they're fine. They're going to find a way. And Vegas, they're off to their third-string goalie, and I don't know, what are they doing to... It just came to an end so fast. It was just as I was watching the game last night, like, holy shit, they're down 4-2 here. This should, the whole thing, Canada's team, this could be all this whole Canada Stanley Cup final thing everyone's been talking about. Poof, she gone. And I have to think that if you were on that team or a big fan of that team, it has to even feel more so like it ended just like a thud.
Well, what it is here is that there's a runway. There's 2 years left to Leon. And I think Oilers fans are smart enough to understand that it's probably not the most likely scenario that a guy like that stays. A, because he belongs in maybe the top 2 or 3 paid guys in the league. They might not have room for him. And B, because every great Oilers always left. And to be fair, he's a German. He's not a Canadian. So it's like, how many? Okay, scratch another season off the board. There's two left with Connor and Leon.
I don't know what to make of because I don't disagree with you, but I don't know what to make of it. If you're the Edmonton Oilers, you're going to do everything and anything to keep that guy, clearly.
Yeah, it's going to be about where Leon wants to be. He has pick of the litter, pick any market. The cap's going to jump massively here, not this year, but the one after. And teams will be well aware of a player of that caliber being available and make room. You will inherit problems and deal with them later to get a player like that. And no one stays.
But does he seem... Well, you're right. No one's...
Like Wayne left. Messier left.
Wayne got Ryan Smith run got out traded. Of town.
Like it's...
I mean, yeah, Wayne got sold.
Wayne got sold, for
and
sure.
Had four rings in his mitt when he left. I just wonder for a guy like Leon, like you say, is he Tinseltown? Is he New York City?
I'll say this. He doesn't seem as likely to leave as a guy like Matthews in Toronto.
Well, and Matthews today actually came out and said, my intention is to be a Leaf moving forward. I want to get an extension on this summer. So, I mean, that feels like, ooh.
I wonder for a guy like Leon, to your point, he's from, I don't friggin' know the guy. But I wonder if it's a situation where he and Connor kind of look at, we have something here and we're friggin' close. And I understand, but only one team wins this thing. I'm not signing for another 8 years, but do we want to, because Connor's up soon too, right? Do they kind
of... Yeah, two a dry, three a Connor.
I don't know what... When you're that good, what's important to you? Winning, for sure they want to get their name etched on the cup. But what's after that? Taxes? Lifestyle?
Well, money, yeah.
I don't know. Like, honestly, you know, because there are a lot of people will say this, and it's a stupid comment. Well, if you're making 12 million, you're going to make 100 million. What difference does it make where you pay your taxes?
Well, it makes a lot of difference.
It makes more. It
15, 20 million in
difference. It makes more. There's more reason to move.
Yeah.
Because of bad tax.
And I think when we talk about it, we always think of it in this binary term. Like, what's important to them? It's always going to be a blend of where am I living? How famous or anonymous am I? What are my chances of winning? What's my legacy? What are my taxes? Like, it's going to be a blend of all those things. Some guys don't want to be so famous they can't go get a coffee. They love the anonymity of smaller markets. Other guys thrive on playing in a hockey market. All those things are into the equation. But like, as much as you might say, we got something special here with Connor and Leon, they've been together for like 8 years and they've had two runs through the first round, three. Like, it's... I can buy that they're close, but you could also build that element of doubt where it's like, this team isn't well run enough and they've screwed up too much in my prime. I could also see a bit of that happening.
Yeah, I don't know that they get bitter about it, but 100% it's been managed poorly.
Like if you're the only thing holding the Oilers back is their ability to be efficient with the rest of their cap, because you got Connor and Leon at 20. That's a steal.
Yes.
Like if all that's you have to do is be really smart with the rest of that money. If you graded them on how smart they've been with their money, it's not very good. It's a really mediocre.
I still look at
their,
I mean, Hopkins has been unbelievable. 100 points and
2 5-on-5 points in the playoffs.
That was just
Hyman disappeared a bit. Kane's on the back end of like he's still a good player, but you're getting less each year now. He's into his mid 30s. Like it's, I don't know that they believe in the management as much as you would in other markets necessarily. Like, hey, they got us a goalie this year while he wasn't any good.
Yeah, we've had,
Jeez, we've done this a few times.
I feel like this is a, repeat
it's like,
business.
Oh, here. And we're spending $2 million a year on James Neal the next 2 years. That could be a guy that could score 25 with Leon and or Connor, like a $2 million winger.
Every team makes mistakes. And even to kind of separate, because, well, what about the Flames? Just take the Flames out of this equation for now. Just
have to be out of
it.
The equation, because you shouldn't be comparing to them. Just you should be comparing to the Lemieux Penguins or Crosby's Penguins or Wayne's Oilers. Do not compare to a middle-of-the-pack team.
So for the sake of this, you just look at this team, cap space, salaries, and all of that. Evander Kane didn't have a great playoff. What did he end up doing? 1 point in his last 7 games. But at 5.125, good value. Nugent Hopkins comes back, 5.125.
Good value.
Good value. McDavid, Dreisaitl together, as you said, 20. Good value.
Yeah, 21. So, like, unreal. That's, you know, a going rate for a superstar in the new world is going to be like $12 to $14 million.
Zach Hyman, $5.5 million.
Wanted a better playoff, but yeah.
Decent value. Right?
Blake Coleman's right there. And I'm not going to do trying to, but yeah, so Hyman's not.
Yeah, and they're totally different. Like, Hyman's great in the ozone, not great defensively. Coleman's not that good offensively, very good defender. They're opposite players.
They did well on the Ekholm trade. I think everyone agrees.
Great player, got some term left.
Right, he's at $6 million per.
Ekholm makes six, and he's 32, so 3 years left. I don't know what he looks like as he ages, but he looked really good as an
Oiler. And it didn't. That was the whole thing. It didn't matter what it looked like. You had to do that trade for this team now. Because we're Connor and Leo, like, because that,
I think it's
whatever.
It was. I think Ekholm's a good fit.
You had he's what they needed. Now. They didn't have a lot of defensemen that were good defensively.
Bouchard has come through. They're going to have to pay him. He's an RFA.
He's going
to
get huge.
I guess all I'm saying is it's easy to point the day after they've lost and they've made all these mistakes. Every team has shitty contracts and ones that they'd like back, but they are not the most poorly run team by any strength of the imagination in my mind.
Nope,
you look at some of the moves that they've made, some of their draft picks, even some of their young guys, like McLeod had a hell of a playoff. They brought in that Klim Kostin
He
was
found money.
This was not a terrible.
No. Now
what happened was Nugent Hopkins has one goal in 12 games. Hyman was not the same after he had that Charlie horse. He got nicked up there. Kane, 1 point in his last seven. We've talked about Skinner. He got pulled in three of the six games.
Four in the playoffs.
And Draisaitl, in games one and two, had six goals. And then three, four, five, and six, no goals, one assist. So is he hurt?
After the slash.
The one thing it does to me is it again, double underline and bolds the bold face, just how hard it is to fucking win.
This tournament's wild.
Because if even a few more of those things... Maybe if Nugent Hopkins isn't struggling, or if Kane is getting their 5-on-5 thing is an issue. 18-9, they got outscored 5-on-5.
Not close.
But I think it just goes to show you that it's friggin' hard for all of it to fall into place.
Yes.
At any given time,
you need luck. You need health. You need to be very good on top of all those things. And we've said it. It's a crapshoot tournament. There's four teams that'll be left after tonight. You might have two wild cards in there. It's insane. But there are some mistakes in there. And when Leon and Connor started in Edmonton, they were probably one of the worst run teams in the league under Chiarelli. You saw incredible mismanagement of the cap space that they were afforded when both those guys
took deals.
But
that wouldn't affect Draisaitl's mindset moving forward, happened years ago.
Well, I'm not saying talking about Leon. I'm just saying, like, you're still handicapped by a lot of those moves. So, for example, like, you've got Neil on the books for two more years because of a Lucic deal that Chiarelli signed. And, like, when Kenny Holland said, we don't need more forwards, we're loaded at forward, I'm taking a D, and he reaches for Broberg, you miss Caulfield, you miss Boldy, you miss Zegras. All those guys were there. That's a mistake because it wasn't a consensus pick to go get Broberg. And why are you drafting for positional need? Like, you could trade Caulfield for how many defensemen right now? Are you kidding me? And then they were supposed to solve their goaltending issue this summer with a $25 million check. That looks like a massive swing and miss. But yes, all teams have these swings and misses. I just think when you have those two stars, you just need someone to make good, smart bets. And they've made too many bad bets. Like, look at their decor and goaltender.
Their decor and goaltender.
Like, it's so crucial, and they're so mediocre.
They did,
and that's why they suck 5-on-5.
They did a great job getting Ekholm in. I think it helped a lot. You saw how much better they played. But who's? They have two defensemen, Ekholm and Bouchard.
Nurse is making way too much money, and he's not a bad player, but he's not a number one. You're paying him like he's an all-star. He's not. He's
making more than Draisaitl.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a top five or six paid defenseman in the league, I think. He's a second pair guy at this point.
Wow.
And like, the timing of his career year was perfect for him. But, you know, again, 9.25 for that guy is wild.
Yeah, they gave him everything.
Yeah.
And they felt like they had to. And you can squint to see why. But it's who's after him? They still have him. Like, Brett Kulak is a six defenseman, isn't he? Like, he's not.
I like his defensive game, and I don't mind his contract, and he's what they don't have a lot of. Like, he's better
in his own
zone.
I know, but he's still playing higher up the chart.
CC and Kulak.
They're missing a top pair. Like, Bouchard, maybe now you could call a top pair guy, but they've not had a top pair for a while. Like, and yes, Ekholm's been good, but what's a guy look like at 32, 33, 34, 35? That's what they just got.
They have missed on so many high-end or first-round picks over the last decade.
Well, Puljujarvi was the sell-low moment. They got magic beans.
But even before that, like, Hall was fine. I didn't.
Yakupov was a huge bust.
Yakupov, brutal. right? Like they're like top end or top of the. Now, I don't think that the draft class jumped out at you at that time, and I don't know,
fair.
Right? Like,
but
I don't,
then they also got the Connor draft class, right?
Yeah, so
it all evens out a bit.
You should have done better with all the. You should be stacked. Mm-hmm. You should be stacked.
That said, if they were hiring for a GM, and we understand they might be.
There's 1 year left on Ken Holland's five times.
You would
five,
take that job in a heartbeat.
Of course you would.
Right?
Because you got a chance with two superstars. Not many teams can start off with $21 million for those two guys.
Well,
that's incredible.
And the goaltending is so...
volatile.
Yeah, it's hard. Were we all outraged that they went after Campbell? I never trusted him.
Nah.
But he never felt like a firm number one so much as a fringy guy that was in a nice environment.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was my take too. But I don't blame them for...
They were desperate.
Guess, trying.
And they lost out on Markstrom, so they probably got a little too horny to not miss out on another guy.
Last year, they won a playoff series with Mike Smith in net.
He was better
this
than
year,
what they
lost
year.
The series with Aiden Hill in net. At the other end. Like, what do you, how do you...
Yeah, right? Well, and that's the whole goalie thing. Like, Bobrovsky's a Vezina guy, apparently, again. And Aiden Hill, who you probably could have got for a bag of chips at points in the last year and a half, was the fourth string guy on the Vegas depth chart, and he did it to you. That's wild. Like, you can't write this shit.
Yeah, so I don't feel sorry for them. And it's not just because I picked them. But this team was better than the team that got through round two last year. To me, they're better this year than they were a year ago.
Yeah.
And this will be, if you want to look at just, they didn't get as far as they did a year ago. It's a step backwards, but I don't think it is really.
They need to figure out if they've got a goalie. And Skinner had a great regular season. Campbell had one of the worst you could see for that price tag.
I mean, still have to consider it a step back. I get what you're saying, but it's still a step back.
It's one more year off the clock,
to,
right?
Yeah, you have to. We all know it's hard to win. That's not a tough statement to make. Like, it's not news to anyone that it's hard to win in the playoffs, but that's what you're designed to do.
The other reason I think it stings Oilers fans is that the path is clear. Colorado had all these injuries pile up, a weird Nichushkin thing. They get ousted. Ooh, okay. So that maybe was your favorite if they ever got healthy in the West. Then you see other big guys falling out along the way. Vegas has Mark Stone with a bad back, Gimpy leaving skates. They're down to their four-string goalie. Robin Leonard's missing the whole year. Brassois gets hurt. Like, it had all unfolded in front of them for this to happen. It isn't like the murderer's row that Florida is going to have to face where they play the best team in, you know, the history of the NHL regular season and then go play a top five regular season team. And now we'll have to face another top five regular season team. Like this, the way the cards got played out was perfect for the Oilers. It feels like such a missed opportunity because they might have a way tougher out early in the tournament next year, or you have an injury. Something like that.
There's no easy path. I agree with you 100%.
That's why it stinks.
It appears that way and it looks that way. But Vegas is better than what I thought they were. I mean,
they're going to get goaltending clearly, like that from their four-string guy.
So, yeah, you're going to get goaltending. Yeah. They've got depth. They play a structured game. They work their asses off. They're all on the same better team than I thought.
A team is the word for me. Like,
and that's what
when
you're
you
finding with all the guys moving on.
Like when I see a team hitting 60% on a power play that doesn't do much at 5-on-5 against Vegas, like Vegas just reeks team cohesiveness, structure. Like, you know how they all play.
Roll
over here,
over.
We're waiting for the Stars to get a 5-on-4.
Yeah. And those Stars are good enough.
They're phenomenal.
Yes. But all the teams moving on. And it doesn't matter who wins tonight. I think
they're teams.
They're teams, 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 teams.
Yeah, the sum of the parts greater than the individual pieces.
So what is Vegas, right?
They win. You think about their early exit. They missed the playoffs last year with bad injuries, and then they got that crazy major penalty on the Pavelski faceoff thing against San Jose. Other than that, like, they just march through wins in the playoffs every year. It's wild.
Fourth time they've gone to the.
It's the fourth, isn't it? That's what I was looking for. Is it not their fourth trip?
I think it is.
Because Bruce Cassidy's the third Vegas head coach to go to a conference final because DeBoer
and then Gallant.
Obviously him and Gerard Gallant did in year one. That's a lot of playoff series wins for a team that's been around for six friggin' years.
Yeah, it's considerably more than the Flames have popped up since 1989.
Yeah. They missed the playoffs once.
Last year. And that's when everything goes wrong. That happens to anyone. Tampa did it as well. They had a four-year run where they went to the Eastern Conference Final. Three of those years, one in the middle, they missed. Injuries.
Yeah.
Bad luck. Goaltending's not hot. Shit happens.
Problem for the Oilers, or I know we've switched gears. What's the approach next year? Just keep it?
You have to. You're committed. Well, I mean, what are you going to do? You got two more years of these two stars. You floor it and trade your first again and try to improve the areas that sucked, which was your bottom six forwards, your defense, and your goalie.
Yeah, I think, and I'm with you, I don't think that Campbell, I didn't at the start. I think if it's going to be anybody, it's going to be Skinner.
Feels like a platoon at best, right?
Have to find a way to
pull up his socks.
Just look at it and grin and bear it that you got a $5 million backup and that if you need him can come in and give you some time. I mean, he did in this playoff. He played all right for them when he came in, but I don't think...
All those games are lost when you pull him in anyway. They won one of them, I think.
It was almost a consensus, right? When whatever happened after these pulls, you were going back to Skinner in the next game.
Were you? Or
I think
there
so.
Is
yeah,
that talk out there where, hey, why didn't Woodcroft change the...
I understand that's the Monday morning quarterbacking of it. Like, well, look
it
at his numbers. They're stellar.
It happened in Boston. They did it. It didn't work out.
Well, and Ullmark got hurt too, right? He wasn't 100% right. He'd missed some skates. He wasn't 100. So, and they were a platoon all year. A little different, but I see what you're saying. It's just if Jack Campbell comes in and not relief and gets aerated, think about the critiquing they would get. This season, like, awful. You could never trust him, and you went to him in an elimination game. Yeah. So I could see people playing it both ways, but at the end of the day, they're better goalie all year.
Well, and, you know, and to be quite honest with you, you brag about how great their top guys are. They didn't get the job done in the final game.
They were not good
last
night. Yeah.
And Leon was good in game one, but the rest of the team was still on vacation.
Story over. And if they're not going to win you hockey games when you need them to, then you're effed as an Oilers organization.
And who did them in last night? A natural hat trick in the second period for Jonathan Marchessault.
The draft lottery gift.
Right?
Yeah.
One of their main guys. Riley Smith scores in the first period. It's one of their guys. So, yeah, then you flip it a little bit. And I don't know what happens with this friggin' Seattle game tonight. But if the Kraken... So how do you build a team? If you have the Vegas Golden Knights, who are given scraps and have now won, I believe it's 8 series.
Wild.
Seattle on the verge of winning 2 in their second year.
Yeah.
So when you look at the Flames and you feel like, okay, this is how you have to do it. You have to do it this certain way. You said it. Is it... You need a team.
Team.
You not individuals, mm-mm, not stars. You need to find a way to put a team together. And I guess we crushed Ron Francis, right? Yeah. The hockey world point is like, what is he doing? Why aren't you weaponizing your cap space? This whole thing.
Yeah.
There's something kind of special there. And you go back to a year ago, if their goaltending wasn't terrible.
The worst.
Not to say they'd have made the playoffs, but they'd have been better. And even this year with just okay goaltending, they were a playoff team and are a win away from a conference final in year two.
I think what it speaks to when those two teams are doing so well is just how demanding the salary cap is, and that maybe the advantage that these expansion teams had is none of them had like 6-year albatrosses to deal with, whereas most of the league has one or two of those. Like that freedom to be young and
it's
not have huge cap implications.
It's always the case, and it's always happens, and we've discussed it, and I've... Stop doing it.
Leave yourself some room.
Stop with this. We have to sign him. Bullshit. You don't have to. And if you don't, you give yourself the room to do what you need to do. And that one guy typically isn't the difference, as you're seeing with these teams moving on.
They got $18 million in cap space for next year.
If you're so. And if you're going to have one guy, it's your goaltender. That's it. If you're going to structure your team and pay someone, I mean, there's the outliers of McDavid, for sure. Fine. But if you're building a team, get goaltending, and same as always.
It's the hardest thing to get, right? Because we talked about it 3 times already.
Markstrom was horseshit this year. He has more saves. We're in the playoffs.
100%. Every team's that. Like, you could talk about team and all these narratives, which I think there's a lot of validity to. You can also just look at who's got goaltending the last month. Mm-hmm. Like, if Florida doesn't get goaltending, they don't even get through round one.
No. Sunk in five games.
Like, they lose that series in 4 or 5 to Toronto if Bobrovsky isn't superb. He steals games 1 and 2 for them.
And are you thinking that, I don't know if he has a no move or whatever, but if the Oilers had called Florida and said, listen,
oh, for sure.
You I don't want back. Campbell. Yeah. You eat half his salary. We'll take Bobrovsky. Yeah.
You just right? can't it's see it easy. Coming, right? Like, yeah. Who would have thought Phil Grubauer after, like, you're like, that is all. He was so bad last year. So bad. And you're like, he's a win away from a conference final a year later. Like,
and
he
was so good the year before that in Colorado.
Exactly. And then we talked about it before the show started. Like, you're looking at Jake Oettinger allowing 4 or 5 a night here. Yeah. When a year ago it was like, you cannot beat this guy.
Well, and but the games they win too are he plays unbelievable. So
like it's this. Yeah. If you can tell me how you know who the good goalies are and when they're going to be good, you've got cups. It's almost impossible.
And the good goaltender you would think, that's Shesterkin.
Yep.
Right? Like he was
Shesterkin,
supposed to
win Sorokin, years. And Ullmark are your final. No, Shesterkin wasn't this year. Like, I was thinking your Vezina finalists, like how many got through round one?
Right? So the guys that you would expect were going to
even
be.
In season, it's volatile. Yeah. Like Ullmark was 935 all year, something crazy.
I think players are too good.
Got to dumb it down. Make them play with one hand.
I'm not even joking because, well, and the reason I say it is because. Think about last year. I saw today was a year ago Gaudreau scored, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was how much room?
Yeah.
Like, but he meant to put it there.
Yeah.
Nylander to tie the game.
Yeah.
On Friday night in Toronto.
Yeah.
There's, you know, people are saying, well, how could he give up that goal? Blah, blah. Oh, there's this much room.
Yeah.
And he put
Mail
it.
Mail slot.
And, right? Totally. So a goaltender can be doing absolutely everything right. They've got position. They've got.
I know, yeah.
Players are making perfect shots. Not flukes, not maybes.
Yeah, no. Nope.
They're doing it on demand when they need to.
Yeah, the size of a puck, I'll put it there.
Yeah. They know where the goalies can't cover in certain situations and where it has to go, and they make the shot and they make the play.
We'll move on. Spoiler alert there, too. But anyway, Hearing Loss Clinic. Hearingloss.ca is the website. We've been talking about it for a long time and hopefully getting people in that frame of mind. Train of thought. Yeah, it's maybe time to go get your hearing looked at. You go maybe have an eye. You go to the dentist all the time. You go get your eyes checked. Why wouldn't you go and get your hearing checked? 4 Calgary locations, 9 in total, 5 in British Columbia. Fernie, lovely area. I don't know if you've ever been.
Like Fern Dog?
Oh, it's great. If you feel you're having issues with your hearing, visit one of the locations for an evaluation, and they'll point you in the right direction. Maybe it's treatment, whatever it needs to be done. They are the very best. The 2022 Chamber of Commerce Professional Services Excellence Award winner. And it's men and women of all ages, even kids can suffer from hearing loss. Serious health risks have been linked to untreated hearing loss. And it can improve so many facets of your life, and it might be things you don't even know you're dealing with. Go get that evaluation done. On Twitter, at The Hearing Loss. Instagram is The Hearing Loss Clinic. And again, as you see right there, hearingloss.ca.
Rhodesy
is the website. Rhodesy. He's got one of those, Travis Rhodes, he's got one of those social media, you just want to unfollow it.
What?
It's why I got off Facebook. It's like, oh, everybody's life is so much better than mine.
See, that's jealousy, dude. Like, you should be happy Christ, for him.
Look
no?
at his jet set and look at, God, beautiful people everywhere, loving life. God, unfollow.
And we're telling Rhett to do more? That's just going to make you angry.
Thumbs down. That's what it gets. I was going to talk about that Seattle-Dallas just in terms of Seattle. I don't know how. Because there's some good players there, and obviously Matty Beniers was one of their top first round picks, but they don't have that influx of studs that they picked high because they were bad. These teams didn't have to be bad. So is it just because they're unencumbered by bad contracts that the GM has brought on? Which kind of goes back to the conversation that we had, I guess, a week ago with the Flames moving forward. They have an opportunity after this season to have they're going to have some bad contracts, but cap space, mm-hmm. as all those guys come off the boards, it's almost a reset that a lot of times teams have to spend draft capital to get. I just wonder, would they be screwed without Elias Lindholm? Yeah, they. Yeah, it's who's going to do it?
There's lots of other guys.
But where are you wanting to get to, I guess? And then you got to use that cap space wisely. And the Kraken have not won a Stanley Cup by any means. I just, there's no tried and true way to do it as you watch Vegas do it again.
Well, there is a tried and true. I mean, Vegas hasn't won, and you like the success they're having. And I think that the GMs around the league screwed up mightily
that
when Vegas
did.
Came in.
Yeah.
But I think the tried and true method is you build from within,
draft
and draft well, and you don't overpay for guys.
And that's not really what Vegas has done. They've been hyper aggressive in trade and free agency.
But
and
they aren't afraid to
roster.
Move guys.
Yeah. No, of course not. No loyalty.
Way,
no loyalty.
And then pivoted hard.
Like every first rounder they've moved away from,
yeah.
I believe.
Yeah.
Like whether it was.
And I'm not saying, I don't think Vegas is the poster child. As good as they've been, I think Tampa is the poster child. I think Chicago was the poster child. Yeah. I think that Colorado has done a good job of building from within, right? Like
Carolina in a
Carolina
way.
Carolina continues to do business the way they do business, right?
And Seattle and
don't
Vegas.
Don't forget where Ron Francis came from.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
And that's what I was just going to say. Like, they're expansion teams. Look at them go. They've gone about it totally differently. Vegas got a really nice hand dealt to them. Seattle had to play a little more patient, but they weaponized their cap space a bit. Like when the Columbus Blue Jackets bring in Johnny, they got to free up some cash. Well, who can go get Oliver Bjorkstrand, who's making 5.4? We'll take him cheap. Boom. They grab Ely Tolvanen off waivers, a guy that's always been highly touted, couldn't find a role in Nashville. Boom. He's scoring a bunch of goals for them. Like they have not gone about it the same way. And yet both of them now have a chance to be in a conference final.
You know, and for Seattle, one playoff run doesn't mean that they've got
no, and no, but they're deep, right? Like, they look good.
And Vegas made that conscious decision to pivot away
because
they went to the cup final year one. Was Pacioretty the first one where it was Suzuki? And so then I think that was the first. Okay, now they're really going for it. And then the Stone deal happened and they gave up.
Well, and then Peter Angelo wanted to go there.
Petrangelo goes as a free agent, yeah.
Right?
Like, well, and then as a result of that, it's see you later, Nate Schmidt. You're a good soldier. See you later. And then it's Marc-Andre Fleury. You make too much. Robin Leonard's available. Like, there's been zero loyalty there.
I guess,
and I get it because it's like they want to win immediately. They see this as their window to win, whereas I think Seattle's looking further down the line than the first couple of years.
So let's look at it then rather than how do you build it, why is it working for Seattle? Because Grubauer, good goalie, but he's not a top five guy.
Because they've all bought in and they're playing the same style. It's the same as Florida. Bobrovsky's been great, but everyone is on the same page. It's the typical playoff run where everyone just, this is how you play, this is how we play, we make the other team react to us. They're all on the same page.
And to be fair, if they lose tonight, it's one series win. It's impressive,
but
listen, it's not like, what can we copy from them? They're so good. It's like, it was a good year.
No, listen, their year has been outstanding.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, how long till the Flames catch Seattle? Well, you're not going to catch Seattle. And then they beat Colorado. And now they're in a position to go to a conference final.
Mm-hmm.
They have there's the way they're playing, and is it the way they're built? It has to be, because you talk about Tampa Bay, Stamkos, first overall, Hedman, but then you also need Vasilevsky and Kucherov and Point. You go down the line. Even Chicago, would they have had three cups if it's just Kane and Taves and not Keith
Seabrook?
No, but they built them all
within and down the line, right?
I don't see Seattle doing what Tampa's doing. It's very different, right?
I'm not comparing the two. What I'm saying is there's no reason why, talent-wise, Seattle should be doing what they're doing.
They're deep,
They
have a lot of guys that could score 20 goals. That's what I'd say.
And
not a lot that could score 40.
I guess the argument back to you would be, well, they haven't done anything yet. They won a series. It's great, and they look really good, and they're playing. I like how they're playing, but if they lose tonight, what's the story? Well, we want to copy Seattle's blueprint?
No, well, here, I guess I'm coming back to having sat through watching a Flames season where it just seemed like no one was buying in. There was no chemistry.
There was no chemistry,
no identity.
But again, those guys, they've been together for 2 years now. Clearly, they like playing together, and you can't know. And that's what I said about the Huberto thing and the Kadri thing. About signing long, you don't know how guys are going to fit in when you bring guys out and give them a big contract. You find out if they fit first. And that's Seattle has that, mm-hmm. at least.
The other thing is, like, if we'd had this conversation a year ago, no one's bullish on what Seattle's done.
No, we were
like,
making
Haxtell's the wrong hire. Yeah. How could you commit all that money to a goalie when goalies are voodoo with the Grubauer signing? Man, you really didn't, you know, extort some teams that were in tough spots with the expansion draft. Like, I like what they've done, and it looks good, but a year ago, we didn't like it. And maybe next year, it doesn't come together for whatever reason. It's a really nice season they've had.
But that's on us. So who cares what
No. Had. Their results last year were awful. That was on them.
You were at the front of the bus talking about how it was their goaltending that sewered them, the team.
Yeah. But they overplayed their goaltending this year.
And we wondered about their coach. It was a weird hire. Dave Haxtell didn't have a lot of success in Philly. And prior to that, he ran North Dakota forever, where you recruit. Like, we didn't. I think those look better than they did a year ago.
Watching what happens with Toronto, what happened here, and what happened with the Oilers, it's right there. You can't just have good players. You need something else.
And they called it the Stars over Kansas when they were arguing about contracts when the lockout happened in 2005. And Goodenow's thing was, you don't want your high-end guys are going to take all the money. They're the stars. They're going to get everything. And then the rest, Kansas, flat. So you just, couple million bucks for everyone else. It just won't work. And, you know, that was talk about how teams are going to operate. And there is a little bit of that.
A lot of that in the markets with big stars.
He didn't want it that way because he wanted all the players to spread out the money more. Whereas what we're talking about is organizationally, if you allot too much money to a couple high-end guys and they don't get the job done, you're Edmonton. Now, it's McDavid and Draisaitl, and they are extremely – you would still take that organization because that talent is
– And those deals, yeah.
Yeah. But, again, if you have a couple guys that are here and everyone else is here – it seems very difficult to win.
Yeah, and I think that today that is especially notable that the Flames want to chat with Brandon Pridham, the AGM of the Leafs. That was Frank Saravalli noted that. And what Pridham has had to deal with managing a cap is that you've got $40 million committed to four forwards, and everything else, to Rhett's point, is how do we squeeze the most out of $850,000 for this roster spot? 1.1. You know, can I send a dead guy over here, get cap relief, LTIR this guy, move it in? Like, it now becomes a game of, like, how much can I get out of my last $10 million, rather than, like, oh, just add another good player. And that's a hard cap system that you're in. You love having stars, but now you've got to be really efficient with the rest of your money. Seattle doesn't have that issue because their highest paid guy is making 5.9. They can bring in someone at four. It doesn't their cap.
And I think the other thing I think about is with all this and moving forward is that, and watching Seattle, players are good. And not relying on a star is an approach. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's it would be a bold approach. It's working for them right now. Beniers will get his money. There are going to be guys that jump up in that salary cap, or those salaries are going to go higher. But it is an approach to go, no, we're going to have a whole bunch of guys that can score 20. And we're not going to rely on...
It's Carolina's approach, really.
Yes. And they've had success for a long time doing it that way.
Yeah. And look, you want stars, nowadays, but you don't have them.
Sorry, but all the what I was trying to get at the most, and I completely forgot, was kids these days, like I said, all of them can hit that.
Yeah.
Not all, but a lot of players today can hit that little spot, that little mail slot, and score those goals. The talent level that kids are bringing into the game is just, it's so high. It's so, so high. And if you allow one of those kids to have the ice time to get comfortable playing and get on a roll, who the hell knows? They can be as good as a guy that you're paying $10
million. Yeah, like,
and they're costing you nothing. Tolvin, and you've brought them from within.
Tolvin and Waivers, skilled guy.
Yeah.
Ah, yeah, man. Well, I don't know what he is. Well, the scouting report for him 5 years was a really skilled player that was going to be a guy that could play, top six wing. 18 goals in Seattle. a lot of teams don't have room to roll the dice on that. In Seattle, yeah, why not? Let's give it a go. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work.
So then, just to check in here in mid-May, as of right now, if you were the GM for the Flames, are you taking anything that you're seeing? It's always kind of a copycat league, and you're with the cap, you can't just go and do everything the way you want to do it. But what would your strategy be right now with what you're seeing out there? Keeping in mind that because I agree with you, I feel like the league has changed. It's so high skilled. There's leads are blown. It's come from behind. It's a fun league to watch right now.
You think about the Flames defense. And if you can get Stetcher back, I thought he played well.
Shillington.
You got Markstrom, who you think's going to be better. You got a kid in net, the Wranglers, that's supposed to be a stud. That's my focus.
Build around that. Make that your identity.
That solid, because you watched the teams that have struggled in the playoffs, and they get roasted defensively. They get roasted. They can't cover. They can't make plays. They got no depth, so they got to play one guy way too much. Well, eventually that guy's going to wear out and get tired. They've got a nice back end.
Yep. If you get a bounce back from Markstrom, you've got an outstanding goalie prospect and a very deep blue line if Oliver Shillington looks anything like he did. Never mind bringing back a Stetcher type. Like, that was always an area that we thought they were deep, and then Oliver Shillington showed up, and it still kind of was an area of strength unless Tanev was hurt.
So my approach, I guess, to answer your question, would be to keep all of that solid, keep adding to that cupboard when you can, because those guys, Tanev's going to get older. You guys will switch out.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't give a shit what you do up front. There is no one that I get that Lindholm's really good. Backlund's been here forever. I'm not loyal to any of them. They aren't creative enough, and I don't see enough high-end. Well, I'm just talking about, I don't see out of that group enough high-end.
Maloney talked about it. He said he'd like to add more scoring. In today's NHL, they didn't score enough.
They shot the puck a lot. They didn't create a lot.
And when you look at the construction of their bottom six, they have a lot of guys that are good at defending leads, which is harder to do than before. Like, their whole fourth line construction all year was like, why aren't you giving a look to some kids that are scoring at the league lower? Like, the whole Darryl identity of what a fourth line looks like, they need to move past that.
Way past.
You need to start rolling the dice on skill, like a Tolvanen. You know, like a guy like Matty Phillips getting more than two games. You know, like letting Pelche play ahead of big body Nick Ritchie down the stretch. And look, it's not all on Darryl. I'm not saying that. But I think philosophically, I liked hearing from Don Maloney that he sees that as a priority, because there are other ways to reimagine your bottom six. It does not have to be dump and chase grind guys. You can be big and physical, but be young, have pace, and a little offensive upside. Like, if you had Duer, Coronado, Phillips, that type of a group, Zari, like, they're not all going to pan out, but like, let those guys have a little run. You talk about how skilled these young guys are. They look lethargic and low energy and slow at times. There are some young assets you can at least roll the dice on and see what they are. They did a bad job of that.
Bieksa was talking the other.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Night about how it's still you need size and strength, and you need to have some of that in the playoffs. So where's that? Where are you on that? And it's not even just about size, but these are skilled guys. None of them are overly rugged.
Well, stop. So I get 100% understand your question and 100% agree with BX's take, but I don't think it's about the size. It's about how you play. It's the dog and the fight and the dog, right?
Yeah.
It's the fight and the dog. It has nothing to do. You, it's great if you're 6'6 and you can skate and you play like Adam Lowry. I love Adam Lowry. Yeah, yeah. I would absolutely love to have Adam Lowry on my team, 100%. I'm more concerned with what's the pace of play? Are you doing what you're being asked to do? Are you getting in on a forecheck and creating it, right? And less about, oh my God, he just put that guy into the third deck on a hit.
And like Walker Duehr checks a lot of those boxes.
Exactly.
He's young, he plays with pace, and yeah, he is big too. That's
Ryan nice. Blomberg is not big, but when he was in the lineup for Florida, he was a pain in the ass.
But Pelche, Phillips, Coronado, those guys aren't. I'm just, does that shape
Coleman's
your thinking
a
when
physical
it,
guy, not huge, but yeah.
It's how you play.
Yeah.
They can still finish checks and get in and be pricks to play against. Yeah. Right. You know, like I understand the size want and the grind want, and I agree with it. Everyone thinks I hate doing it because it's like old guy talking about the good old days. The 03-04 Flames weren't massive up front. We had Oliwa and Chris Simon, sure,
big
but they couldn't get in, right? What we had was Sean Donovan and
Flies.
Matthew Labardi
Flies.
And Dean McCammond and a bunch of guys that when the puck went in the offensive zone, they were on that thing.
And when you think about what Dubé and Mangiapane look like when they're playing well, they're not big guys, but they're physical players. They go to high traffic areas. They run into people. They're a pain in the ass to play against when they're right. So I wouldn't get too hung up on the hockey card height weight, because next thing you know, you got Kevin Rooney at 1.3 and he can't keep up. He's in the minors now.
There was this thing, I had taken a screenshot of it, but you know me with math and gloss over, but it was somebody had gone in and had done, I guess, the math or the tracking on it, that Florida and oddly enough, Seattle were the two teams that their goals, I forget what a high percentage, were coming within 5 seconds after they forced a turnover. So somewhere on the ice,
you're buzzing the piss out of the
turnover
park. Pace.
Turn it up quick. Yeah. Attack. Goal.
Yeah,
no one was scoring quicker off of forced turnovers than the Kraken and the Panthers.
The Florida might be the best team on the forecheck in the league. Like the way they have success is disrupting things with their forecheck, and to your point, turning that into a scoring chance right away. It's not like hold, wait, cycle, fire a muffin from the point.
The
it's
other
like
thing that
get on you, pressure you, turn it over.
And it might not be the first time you turn it over.
Yeah.
That you get the scoring chance, right? The thing about the forecheck and getting on it is that now you're the defender, you're exhausted.
Oh, I was going to say, and it's got to be a mental fatigue on top of physical,
totally.
Right?
Yes. Yep.
These guys will not fucking stop.
You remember Furland on Bieksa, speaking of which?
Yeah.
Like, it was that.
Yes.
It got to the
100%.
Point where he was so worried about this freight train come behind him, he started spitting pucks in the corner or turning early or mishandling or bobbling or just firing it without looking. That's exactly what you're talking about with the mental and physical.
100%.
You need some dogs.
Yes.
Some young dogs. We need more dogs.
This Wranglers thing is good. They play tonight. Like this is the, you want to start breeding some dogs? These types of runs are very good for your young players.
Very good. They got to learn how to win. They got to learn how to play hard. There's a lot to be gained, but I hope they can.
And you had said it weeks ago. It's too bad that Coronado can't be part of it.
It is.
Yeah.
He's at the World Championship. He's playing well, but it's too bad that he can't be in that nucleus and start building relationships and bonds like that. It's too
great. Grady's playing against men. Grady's there, but you're right. To be a part of a run right now would have been nice, but you couldn't add him to the roster because he wasn't added at the deadline.
McLeod Law, Peter Klein, just the best when it comes to personal injury lawyers and helping you. If you have suffered personal injury, it's your first call. It's your only call. It's McLeod Law. Peter Klein and his staff. They take all of the pressure and burden off of your shoulders. They handle your legal, your insurance, your medical claims. You focus on recovery, and all of a sudden you've got a stud teammate alongside you. Let them handle it all. You be you. At McLeod Law LLP on social media. Their website, McLeod-Law.com. Good people who will they'll fight the fight for you. And you mentioned it earlier. Now, this one's going to hurt. This day in Flames history. Oh, again, a Calgary... McLeod Law, proud Calgary business. They like to celebrate all things Calgary. This was this day in Flames history. We don't have to go back all that far.
Don't be a year ago.
1 year ago today. Take a listen.
Has the puck now. Down low for Gaudreau to Tkachuk in the corner. Back to Johnny Gaudreau. Gaudreau in front. Feeds a pass to Leno. Stopped by Ottinger. Took it up high. Gaudreau scores!
If you were just listening and not watching, that was...
I think you know what it was, yeah.
May 15th.
Johnny Gaudreau,
2022.
There's the Kleenex box you noted, Rhett, the hole for the goal. And I don't know how many people remember, but Markstrom in that same overtime period, breakaway save, or two.
The scores, the final scores in that series... 1-0, 2-0, 4-2, 4-1, 3-1, 4-2, and that was a 3-2 overtime final. And this year, the Stars and Kraken have had six or more in every...
Was Rhett here for it? Because I don't know if we mentioned... I mean, we should say it anyway, because obviously it's the show, but the scores they've had in this series, I'll read them from game one on. So it is 5-4, 9 goals. 4-2, 6 goals. 7-2, 9 goals. 6-3, 9 goals. 5-2, 7 goals. And 6-3, 9 goals. The fuck is happening here? This is like 1980s.
Yeah, this wasn't back
like
in
Moog Fuhr shit.
Oldie times day. This was a year ago. In that series, it was 1-0. You were like, fuck, this game's over.
Ottinger and Markstrom
were never
going
to score on this guy. Remember when Mangiapane scored? It's like, how did he ever score?
How from there? How could you do it?
Oh, my God.
How did you beat a goalie? That was, what, game five?
Yeah.
Oh, I hate to say it, but part of the issue, we just talked about it. It might be the Flames.
But it wasn't, though, because that
last
line was
year,
so fucking right. good.
Last
right?
year was a different team.
But, yeah, if it was the same team, I'd agree. Yeah, I'd be like, yeah, they right. were settling you're for right. meta chances. But, no, Ottinger was awesome.
And Markstrom was awesome.
Yes. And that's, again.
What the hell's Johnny doing in Columbus?
What is he doing? That's so dumb.
Columbus.
I didn't even get Bedard.
That's crazy to think what this organization has been through.
Well, mix in the coach and the GM, like when that gets done.
That's
what
I'm saying.
It is a wild, wild year.
You think back to yes, last year, this
one
game,
year ago, no one was talking about
even losing to the Oilers. Okay, we got beat and we weren't great.
Yeah,
but damn, we're in a good spot moving forward. We
absolutely.
Got some top line in the NHL. Things are good.
Yeah, Tkachuk's going to make $9 million, and it's like, deal with that at the end of the next
Vezna
year.
Vezna candidate and net. What's nothing to worry about here?
Johnny wants to be here. Get Johnny signed.
Yeah, let's go.
Best line in the league. Why wouldn't Tkachuk want to be here? And Johnny, for sure, he's staying.
Lots changed.
Christ
a
sakes.
Lot has changed. Yeah,
Daryl's the guy.
Pull up the lineup from that game last year and look at today's lineup, and you go, oh, God. Because that's the scary part for me is I don't know. You asked, what are you going to do? I like the idea of keeping the deep and the goaltender. Mm-hmm. I don't know how you deal with the forwards. You bring in the kids, absolutely. That's great, and I agree with it. Let them run.
Toffoli's a perfect example of the tough spot you're in because if you take him out of the lineup, you're like, That's the finisher for this group. And yet if you extend him, you're like, man, this group's going to get real old real quick. And then the other is, oh, we'll just trade him mid-season or whatever. And it's like, if you're second in the Pacific and this guy's leading you in goals, like, that's a hard deal to make.
See, and that's why.
So, like, just Toffoli alone seems to, like, crystallize it for me in terms of, like, how difficult some of these decisions are, because you're really balancing a lot of short-term versus long-term. And if you move it to Toffoli, guess what you've opened up? A Toffoli-sized hole. And you had him at 4.25. You can't go buy his production for 4.25. It's impossible.
Wow. Do we expect that next year they're a
two seed with some saves? I don't know. Like, we just talked about where we thought Seattle would be a year ago. Like, it's just, this league's too hard
and
to
what's
predict.
And what's the goal? Is it to kind of bubble gum and string and tinfoil this thing together for one more year and hope it was an anomaly, or to start building that young team full of that skill you talk about?
It's both.
Because there's not a lot of that. These kids that are coming in that can put it here, Flames don't have a lot of that on this roster.
And look, like, it sounds like a cop-out in a way, but if there's ever been a year to remind you, you just need to get in. This tournament's fucking crazy. You want to get a hot goalie for a month? Anything can happen. I'm not saying, hey, there's our plan, but notion that just getting in and you'll get knocked out in round one, that doesn't exist. Bad, lesser teams win in round one all the time.
Take that out of the equation, though. But if you're either going to go with this group and run it back, or the thought process being you're just going
to, I think you have to do both. Like, you keep some guys, but you also absolutely have to turn some of these expiring assets into younger parts, for sure.
Probably the approach is to bring in some of those kids that we talked about.
Yeah. And look,
let it go, see how the season's going.
You're going to know really quick whether you're on the same page as a Noah Hanifin on a new deal, on an Elias Lindholm on a new deal. You know, Chris Tanev's health is a different sort of cloud of mystery because he's always playing something. But, like, if you needed to move a Chris Tanev because you think you've got an embarrassment of riches on the back end, or it's like, hey, we like Stetcher and Shillington's looking great, you know, that's a move you can make if he's healthy that gets assets. But yeah, I don't think this is a keep them all or sell them all. This is going to be a blend where you try to get younger and you also try to remain competitive in the short term.
My gut tells me they don't have the right mix, to be honest with you. And when I hear, well, we can sign Lindholm and we can sign, keep Backlund, and
or this is the challenge of the GM,
Toffoli,
right?
I cringe because I go, even if we have success and make the playoffs, it's a short window. If we're locking into those guys long term,
doesn't it?
It depends what you do, though. Like, if you're moving Noah Hanifin, what are you getting back? It's not nothing.
I'm not talking about Hanifin. I'm talking more about the forwards.
Okay, so but Toffoli then, like if
Toffoli, like Lindholm. I'm just saying, look at their ages.
Oh no, I'm agreeing with you, but I'm saying if you decided to sell Toffoli this summer, which feels like a sell high moment for him in his career, maybe only outside of that monster bubble shortened year. Like, you're going to get assets, and you get to pick what type of assets there. Do you want a first rounder or 2 seconds or a bunch of prospects? Do you want a young cost control player on a team that's ready to win now and he hasn't quite found a role? Like, there are going to be options to get younger moving a guy like Toffoli.
And I would trade
guys
Toffoli
that could step into the roster this season in theory, right?
Well, I would trade Toffoli, and my philosophy, and it's hard. We just talked about it, so hard to be a total hypocrite and say, oh, we're signing guys. No, bring in a bunch of kids and allow them to do it by. I don't think Toffoli's getting you 40 next year.
No.
He's a good player. Sell him.
Sell high.
Backlund, I'm sorry. We've got Kadri and Huberto on long-term contracts. I don't know how. Sell him.
And I don't
get
think
assets
you need,
in return.
I don't think you need to go long-term for Backlund. If this is a guy that's fixated on being a leader.
Okay, well,
just
finish that point. So
my point is, I would allow any forwards that I think I can get that are of that age, you know, Lindholm even. I get that you're going to have a Lindholm-sized hole, but what have we just talked about? There's guys out there to fill it, and they don't have to be paid 10 to do it.
I start looking.
I don't know about number one centers, but I think there are a lot of talented
wingers. Who's the Seattle's number one center?
Let's go look at their lines, what they've done. I don't know.
Nobody, and I mean, it's easy to say for me to say Seattle because they're new and they.
And it's happening in front of us right now today. Yeah, I get that.
Right, but I just.
To me, it's that whole thing.
I don't like the mix. That's exactly it. I don't trust the mix.
I agree. But so the GM's job here is going to be find, how do I tweak this mix to make it the mix? What is there two moves I can make that change everything? Is there a guy that I know like an Adam Lowry type guy that maybe could shake, like what, I agree the mix ain't right, but you don't need to not brick back anyone because the mix isn't right. You need to figure out the problem. Which puzzle piece can you add to fix the mix?
But remember, it's two different things. It's A, like there's Toffoli, trade him now because he's you get the most now. Asset trade him now. Yeah. But it's also keep Chris Tanev and just let him expire at the season's end.
Do that, like, you're saying?
That's what I'm saying. These are the decisions. So by what I mean is in a year from now, neither Toffoli nor Tanev are here.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. It, with this group of RFAs, well, what are you doing with Hanifin and that whole list? I don't want to go in long term with anybody. I want cap space back. I want youth. Yeah. I want skill. Because you said, what jersey are the kids buying? I don't know. Like, where's the high end skill? Where do you look and you can kind of see, you know, in 3 years from now, those could be some 30.
And you have to allow the kids to come in and play. And I think all of us are in agreement that we don't trust the mix. Part of the issue being that I think, without being too harsh, Huberto's on a long term deal and you'd love to get rid of him.
Yeah, you're not.
And you can't. And Kadri's
on a long-term deal is going to be so painful. It's not right? worth it. You'd rather hope he bounced back.
The problem is that you're moving assets you would probably prefer to keep because you've mismanaged the other side of it.
Yeah, you need bounce backs from those two guys. And look, right? The way you talked about Uyghur in November is very different than you do now. Like, it's not impossible for these guys to bounce back. But yes, those are the pieces you're married to. And so how do you work around the edges with these soon-to-be UFAs? That is literally the greatest challenge this new GM's going to be faced is this offseason. It sets up the next 5 years.
If the Kadri and Huberto contracts weren't there, I think this team is in fine shape. You look at it, you would be like, we've got lots of cap space. We've got a decor that's good. We've got two goaltenders that are capable. Maybe three. We have assets that we can move to fill. We've got kids that haven't been being given an opportunity to prove themselves. Like, if you didn't have those, and again, yes, they could come back and have great years with a new coach and your opinion can change. But what my opinion won't change on is that 3 years from now, those are anchors for your squad.
Yeah, and what you hope is that in 3 years, you've done a good enough job of getting younger and the cap's gone up enough that it isn't these incredible, you know, boat anchors you have to drag everywhere. And that's a roll of the dice. It's not a sure thing at all. And to be fair, like, they don't have a lot of great young prospects right now. Like, I like this Jeremy Poirier on the back end, but he's not ready yet. Zari, we'll see. There's some a nice bounce back season after an injury plagued one last year. Wolf's going to graduate. You're going to get Duer Pelche Coronado a chance next year, but it's not a ripe, overflowing cupboard because you've traded a second and a fifth for a Yarncroak and a first plus plus for Toffoli. Your job as the GM this summer is to say, what pieces can I maximize this summer to help me get younger? Because you know in 3 years those guys aren't going to be as good, and you better be awesome at collecting young guys between now and then.
And I think we're all a little bit jaded because they have...
Well, it's not, man. You know in 3 years... probably what Michael Backlund's going to be.
Should be.
You would love to have him, but I
don't think he needs a long-term deal just like Chris Tanev. They're at the age where it's like there might be a one-year deal.
Backlund is a what do you want, Michael? Like,
exactly.
If you're staying, we're not paying.
1 year, $3 million. Let's go. Yeah, like, and that would be great for the city. That would be
great
for him.
Why do you assume he would take a one-year deal? This is his...
Well, everything we've heard from him is about wanting to be a leader and loving Calgary. And if that's the case, those are the types of situations you may be able to...
What if someone gives
you
four times four?
But that's not a debate then, because then you trade him.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Like,
no, it's not happening if that's the case. Yeah. No one is here saying give him four times four.
You keep saying Backlund, just give him a one-year deal, as if he'd be like, yes, please, I'll just give me whatever scraps. He's not taking a one-year deal.
He'll be 35 at the end of it. I think what his season next year looks like has a lot to do with what he'll accept. Like, he's a very good defensive player, but he's a third-line center when you slot this team. Does a 35-year-old third-line center dictate four times four? I don't see
that. How many guys take one-year deals in Michael Backlund's spot? He's a center. Who's taking a one? Why would he take a one-year deal?
So maybe it's two. I mean, I'm just saying, I don't think it's going to be the decision that you're facing with Hanifin and Lindholm, where it's like, these guys are going to want max term. This isn't a long-term deal you're talking about. I think it's like you could put a number on the table, 1 or 2 years.
To me, again,
it doesn't work.
Either way, the overriding point, I think, is get younger without punting on next season. And because of the contracts you have, you're not going to be punting. You should be a competitive team. And mm-hmm. Man, youth is so, it's infectious. And I think it does, exciting young players make some of the older guys better. It's the way the league is going. It's the sport right now.
It's a blend too, though. We've seen a lot of young teams.
And that's what I'm saying. Because of what they have on board. Because of what they have on board already, it's going to be a blend regardless.
Yeah.
So.
I think anyone framing it as keep them all or sell them all, it's not. It's clearly you have to be very tactical about which 1 or 2 you'd keep and which 4 or 5 you sell when, whether it's in season or this offseason.
I don't know if it's even tactical because I don't think it's Backlund. What do you want?
Yeah.
That decision's made immediately.
Hannifin, what do you want?
Hannifin.
And Hannifin's going to be 8 years because that's what he dictates. Lindholm's going to be 8 years because that's what a number one center that's 29 right. will
you
dictate.
You can't have Backlund, Lindholm, Huberdeau, Kadri all on.
No.
And Backlund won't. I think he'll get a 3-year deal. But even at that, 3 years from now, and you have all 4 of those guys?
No, not going to work.
You're not a successful team.
Yeah.
And that's why I don't like the mix. I don't like the age brackets and how they're set up. And it's been a horseshit run of luck, I'll call it, for the Flames, going back 1 year to today.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you get out of it? I think you have to start asset management and moving those guys. Sucks. But it's what a team like Carolina would recognize and do. Right? Instead of trying to squint and squeeze and think that you're...
And you know what? On top of that, too, you can look at Pelche and Coronado and Wolf and be like, we really like that. That's not enough. If you can get 1 or 2 more guys mm-hmm. in that
yep.
age bracket
yep. then you bridge the
in
gap
those other... Because that's the other thing. What? So it's unfair, but Pierre LeBrun wrote the story, Carolina versus Florida.
Natchez.
And they've got Matthew Tkachuk, who almost went to Carolina. What would it be like if those roles were reversed and Carolina was in that? So what if you had Marty Natchez and whatever else that came into Carolina rumored? You don't have Huberdeau and the Albatross contract or Uyghur. You have Natchez. I just think it's not just shedding old guys and being bad next year or whatever. It's
you don't have to be bad. You have good D and should have excellent goaltending.
Should.
You don't have to be bad.
And this team was 11-4-4 after the trade deadline.
Let's be honest. So what's Toffoli worth out on the open market? Right?
Because I would go back
to
the trade deadline.
We're assuming that everyone's going to go, oh, yeah, cheap, we want him, but... Then we're sitting here going, well, I don't want him long-term. Are you going to want him long-term?
No. He's a rental. That's why he's attractive. Because what you're seeing out there is that teams don't bring guys in that are old and long in the tooth at big money. Because like a team like Boston at the deadline, what would they have paid to get?
Like we did?
Yeah.
Well, I'm just saying you're selling a guy in the last year of his deal. Whatever the Flames did a year ago.
I guess the
difference. You're selling a guy that is theoretically a $6 to $7 million forward that's making 4.25. Cap's tight. It's incredibly attractive. And if you like him, maybe you can re-sign him. But if it doesn't work, you're not pot committed. If you look at the types of player that moved at the deadline for a first, he's in that neighborhood.
And I'm do it.
Like what, Dmitry Orlov and Hathaway got a bunch for the Bruins. He's a better player than both those players. They're both really good players, but. Like, it's not crazy to think you should be able to get a pick between 20 and 32 or the equivalent in a younger, already in the league player for a Toffoli, because there's teams that need scoring and you can't spend 4.25 and get a 30-goal guy. The market doesn't bear that.
All right, we got to move on. Time for the Pinder Report, brought to you by Village Honda. Top dollar for your used vehicle. They got $1 million to spend on it. They want that lot up there, that big lot, just all fat and full of great used cars. Sell them your vehicle. You'll get a tropical cruise for 2. Find out more online, villagehonda.com. They're your dealership for life. Village Honda presents the Pinder Report.
All right, we start with Flames News fellows as well. Frank Baum. It's a Frank Baum. Another external candidate linked to the Calgary Flames in their search for a new general manager, Brandon Pridham, who has been the capologist AGM type.
Pridham? Don't even know him.
In Toronto under Kyle Dubas. Listening to Elliot talking, listening to Frank and other names, the list of external candidates we've heard, and some of this is smoke from actually being interviewed. Others is guys trying to keep their names relevant. I don't know which is which. Marc Bergevin, Stan Bowman, Mark Hunter, Ray Whitney, and now Brandon Pridham. That would be added to the internal candidates of Brad Pascal and Craig Conroy, who we know have been AGMs for a long time in the organization. That is kind of the public list at this point. I don't know how much of that is real, but they're names that have been tied to the Flames.
Pridham joined the Leafs in 2015 to help manage the team's salary cap. This is from Frank's report. He excelled through the ranks to later serve as the AGM to Dubas. Before that, he worked in the NHL as the league's salary cap enforcer. His work has been essential for Toronto in maneuvering through all the salary cap rules to put out a optimal roster. So he's worked with the league prior to the Leafs as well.
Yeah, and had a role with central scouting as well before being that sort of cap guru guy that people would call with questions.
Nerd!
About CBA interpretation, which is good.
You don't want any nerds.
No, you definitely need some nerds. They don't all have to be nerds, though. Yeah.
Head nerd?
What's that?
Is it going to be the head?
I don't know. That I mean, he'd be interviewing for head nerd, I guess, isn't he? Although it depends what you think of the president. Is he the head nerd? We don't really know how the decision-making tree is going to work.
Right? In the nerd hierarchy.
Let's go to some Flames news from overseas. Mackenzie Weegar and Milan Lucic in action with Team Canada. Is there another Flame as well? I feel like there's another guy. I'm forgetting.
There's one other guy, yeah.
Yeah, another guy. Anyway, look, Mackenzie got a taste of the Dasher board in Latvia, Rhett, which I'm told is delicious. This is in front of his own bench. Oof. Earlier today, they would beat Slovakia in a shootout that I think went to the seventh round. Canada's 3 wins in 3 games. Uyghurs had a monster start to the tournament offensively. Games 1 and 2, nothing today, and a couple of miscues today.
Ah, it's, you know,
high event.
Weegsy. High event player.
It's high Weegs. We're high. Matthew Coronato got his first goal at the World Championships this morning as well. Let's have a peek as they played Germany. Stood as the winner. Power play goal, 3-2. They're 3-0 to open their tournament. Good eyebrows, eh?
Great.
Glad you could grow eyebrows like that.
Again, because I didn't even see
him. I'm telling you, him and Dubé, stepbrothers.
Yeah. He's here, he's there, he's everywhere. So we'll watch it again. Good experience for the kid. If you can't be playing with the Wranglers, why not this for Team USA?
Watch the feed from the far point there, Retro. Bring it across. Rag. Whoop.
Back door. And look where he puts it.
Tippy.
Pretty good. If you want to be a player, kid, we'd all be okay with it. Speaking of the Wranglers, they're in action today in Palm Springs. Rhett, what is it like playing with sunburn, I should say?
It's not good. It's
pinchy out. It hurts.
Flaky skin, dehydrated.
It's hot down there right now, I'm guessing.
So hot. It's too hot.
They did a great job on Friday evening up the series. Had a ton of penalties to kill. The marbles never really got evened out in the ref's pants there. It was a lot of power plays for Coachella Valley. They won that one, hung on to even the series. So it is a Game 3 tonight, tied at 1. Nick DeSimone there, I believe. Buffalo's finest, right, Rhett?
Yes.
East Amherst?
Pumped to get back.
If you can't have Gilbert.
Go get them, boys. Let's go.
And the rest of that series is going to be played there. So
that's right.
You're going to have to win in Palm Springs twice if you want the
Dome
Rocket.
Doesn't look great when you lose Game 1. When
Thank goodness it's only a best of 5, though, you know? Gosh.
I don't know how to feel about that.
It's so lucky.
I don't know that any of us think it's not janky. To NHL news, well, I don't know if it's a holiday in Calgary, but certainly a lot of smiles and whistling and skipping down the streets in Cowtown as it happened again. The Edmonton Oilers did not win a cup with the best player of our lives. One more year off the ledger. There's Leon Draisaitl. It feels like a failure or a wasted year almost. It hurts, as it should. When they were right, they looked dominant. They erased 3-goal deficits. They scored with ease. And it appeared it was a better mix than ones we've seen in years past. And yet, they never led in this series. They didn't show up in Game 1. And at 5-on-5, they scored half as many goals as a Vegas Golden Knights team that was playing their four-string netminder and their best player had a bad back.
Was Leon pissy last night? Or
I could think there'd be good reason to be pissy if you're Leon. Jack Eichel, big series. And last night it was Jonathan Marchessault with the dagger. Did they change one of his goals? They only
tell
got
you what,
two
Barbashev is a sneaky out there. He had a couple assists, I think, last night. Scored some big goals in round one for them.
And look at the handshake here. Yeah,
give
see ya, bud.
My hand.
Yeah, hell out
shake
of here.
My hand. Shake your hand.
I can't
hand.
Believe he shook give hands. It.
Give me that.
Have you ever seen a non-handshake in the line? I'm putting you on the spot.
Yes.
Yeah?
Marty Brodeur didn't shake Sean Avery's hand.
Oh, that would make sense.
And then he called him Fatso, if you remember.
Who called who Fatso?
Avery called, but Fatso wouldn't shake my hand.
Oh, that is something Avery would say.
I don't like Avery, but there's some stuff he's done. That just
well,
kinda,
you need a black hat, right?
Yeah.
If he's not in the league, there's a lot of entertaining things that we don't get to talk about.
Fatso.
It's a little doughy. A puffy.
I don't know. I guess it's all that upper body gear.
Ever.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Okay, we'll keep going on Edmonton. He's a Calder finalist, but it was not the postseason Stuart Skinner wanted. It's his first ever playoff action. He didn't play last year. It was Mike Smith time. 3-6-8-8-8-3.
Those are Smith vibes.
Worst, sadly. And I think
was he not an option for them down there?
Once they pretended he was hurt, they had to go all in on pretending he was hurt for the whole year. Yeah. You know that injury after he finished the game healthy, their last game of last playoffs? Because they needed the cap space. So tough to undo
They filed the paperwork.
So. Yeah, they filed the paperwork. Yeah, yeah. And that way Smith gets paid and they get the cap relief. Everyone wins. Except this team that didn't have league average net mining in this
What's his cap hit, Smith? 4?
No, 2.2, something like that.
God, just sit around, do nothing, hey?
It's good work if you can get it.
Good God.
Rick got 1 year like that, eh?
I told you guys, there was a guy that was on sick leave for 15 years and he sued the company because he didn't get a pay raise.
Rude.
Seeing the price of inflation. Apples these days? How's a guy supposed to afford that shit?
And it doesn't take long when the Oilers lose that Calgary trolls will be on the internet after the troll of the day so far, because we're less than 24 hours out from Edmonton's elimination. It's a Jesse Puljujarvi tweet. In the conference finals, the Oilers are not. Now, James Johnson from the top row. Well done. Excellent troll work here. Puljujarvi may or may not even play and may or may not even be popcorn for these games, but the facts are the facts.
That is a fact.
And that, in fact, that's a great tweet if you're trying to troll the Oilers. I don't know how you can do better than that. Please give us your best efforts. Submit them to me at Pinder Report on Twitter. And as you'd expect, things going over swimmingly in Edmonton, where, yes, it was on home ice last night, where they lost. And, you know, after a tough loss, things get emotional. I think you probably want to hug the people around you and share in each other's pain.
Yep.
Yeah, so this is the Oilers support group from the upper deck last night.
Come on, guys.
Well, look. Tough game. We are, as always, next year, guys. Oh,
now focus on high ground here, Ed. You always want high ground, right?
Yeah, old Dr. Phil there with the cranium. Watch him.
See, he's protecting his grub.
Pull Yarvi jersey up. Oh, kick. Oh, man down.
High ground.
High ground. And then Superman's
but
coming back
on.
For more.
High ground.
It works both ways.
Can come back to bite you.
Gravity works for both fellas. It's a 19.
Come on, 19.
Jeez.
This is well after the game's over, too.
I think,
Hey.
McDavid's in there breaking it up. Thank you, Connor.
It's never happened at the Dome. Security be on him right away.
It's true, yeah. I'd never see that happen here.
Well, and, you know, it's a new team, new fan base. They're just figuring out what it's like to be in the playoff. Isn't it weird? It just looks like all of a sudden such a juvenile fan base.
I just, you know, it's
like a lot of fights, people biting fingers off at outdoor parties.
I didn't realize that people fought so much in the stands. I mean,
maybe it's just cameras in people's pockets, but it feels like there's more of it, Red. Likes to fight guy everywhere, apparently.
Yeah.
Everybody's mad at each other nowadays. There's no love.
Well, you know what people were really mad at last night? The start time of that game.
Yeah, they were.
I'm on board with that.
10 p.m. Eastern. The question is why, on a night where there was no other games, was this not in prime time for most of, you know, North America, rather than a 10 Eastern start? Well, the rumor, per ESPN rumors, Dan Kingersky, the scuttlebutt from ESPN Insiders, that the NHL asked to move it up from 8 Eastern. Is that 10 Eastern? Up to 8 Eastern, excuse me, because it was a 10 Eastern start. And then ESPN said, we don't really want it. We're going to keep Sunday Night Baseball on the main network, not move it to ESPN2. And then the league's like, well, cool. Then can you give it to TNT? They'll put it in primetime. Nah, we're good. So that's the rumor. Why does it matter? Well, our boy, Troy Stetcher, made a very key point here that was probably not to be lost. They stayed with a 9-1 baseball game in May while missing three goals in an elimination game with a ticket to the conference finals on the line. Clap, clap, ESPN.
Let's go, Troy Stetcher.
Talking about people picking up their dog shit,
can they
getting
sign
the networks
right
fixed. Let's go. Get it done, Troy.
He hasn't changed his jersey.
Hey, Troy.
Troy.
You don't want to go to free agency. It's not all typed up to be. Let's get a deal done.
Going back to Arizona, Troy?
Let's go.
Why are you going to Jersey?
Just the Twitter side conversations about how things were going in Arizona. I don't see that the top option for him. Huh. Well, apparently they're cheap.
Oh, jeez.
Remember when they forgot per diem in the bubble? Whoops!
So you're not talking
It's the same ownership group.
Sources are telling you.
Yeah, not Troy. Would be someone
not
else,
Troy.
Obviously. It's Nick Schmaltz.
Stetch dog. Let's go.
Let's go, buddy. Bring it back. Run it back.
Run it back.
Then we could trade the Zad dog.
How
Let's
old
go.
Is he's a young kid? He's part of that group we're talking about.
He's got
young guys.
Eight or, years.
Let's go.
No, he's close to 30.
Let's go. Young.
Like that. Like youth.
Go. Ute. He's not a Ute.
No.
Not a Ute.
The two Utes.
Okay. So here's what we got tonight. Another game seven coming up for you. We haven't had one in round number two. This will be good stuff. It's either Joe Pavelski and the Stars, or it's going to be this ragtag group of second-line wingers that apparently is the Seattle Kraken. Wild, wild scores. We talked about it. The lowest scoring game in the series, 6 goals. They've had 3 goals where they've reached 9 goals. You'll hear from me in our Betway Bets of the Day later regarding these totals. Game 7 tonight, 8 Eastern. Everyone's happy about that.
Who
start
did we
time.
Pick?
You pick Seattle. I've got Dallas. I don't know what Dean picks.
I got Dallas.
Rhett can really make a move here because we know he had Florida and we
he
know
took
he
the
had
Canes rock me like a hurricane or whatever it was.
But he also I was the only one that got Vegas. So this is a big swing one here for who's going to have the best predictions in round 2. Jack will have a graphic for us tomorrow.
Can't wait.
Can't wait. So good. Speaking of Toronto being eliminated, if you missed it, the Leafs are done, which brings us some talking points. First off, everyone's whining that the league never – it's fixed against Toronto. Today it's fixed against Edmonton. It's fixed against Canadian teams. Mm-hmm. And remember the Gretzky high stick?
Yes.
This generation of Leafs fans now has their own Gretzky high stick. But before we get to that, really, it's again. Sergei Bobrovsky's second round numbers. Let's have a peek at this tidy piece of art.
How come you're not doing the sounds anymore?
It's
an audio format as well, right?
9.43 save percentage. 189 goals against. That is Mika Kiprusoff and his prime type shit. And we talked about how high scoring these playoffs have been this year. Sergei Bobrovsky, take him out. Take him off the milk carton.
Leafs getting what, 7-8
shit.
Shots again. Is that what it was?
No, like, kind of like 45-50.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Unbelievable. And here is the new, we're going to whine, and here's what we're going to whine and complain about in Toronto. This was just after the Leafs had tied the game in Game 5 at home, setting up overtime. 8 seconds left in regulation. A bit of a foul here. Watch the puck here. Marner. Oh, that's Noble. Yeah, but there's 8 seconds left, and it's the refs can't be deciding this.
The puck
thing,
was right? In the zone, though.
I mean, yeah. So if the puck's in the zone, you can elbow.
I think
guy
that's
in the
what
head,
it is.
Right?
Yeah. If the puck's in the zone. Elbow away.
Wink. Oh, like how in the world?
Oh, please.
No, and look, it's not, hey, ooh, poor Leafs. It's this entire postseason. I have no idea what they are and what they aren't going to call. It's the league has a massive issue. They always have had trouble. I don't know that officiating has been more talked about than it has this postseason.
Not a smart play.
If you're going to get away with it, it's an incredibly smart play. Free elbows.
2-2. 5 seconds left in the third. Taste
Zoom
the elbow.
Zoom in on that. He didn't hardly get him.
That's the ref's take. The ref's always an apologist for the refs.
Yeah, I
right?
know.
Always.
We got to move on.
We're moving on.
I'm hungry. Let's go.
Blue Jays getting hot in time for Rhett.
What
did you see
like?
A game this weekend or is it next weekend?
I couldn't go because they've switched the stupid.
You
kids.
Said you're going to the Mother's Day game.
I know, but they switched all the times.
Okay. So that's kid hockey screwed you. Here's what you missed. Nice little walk-off yesterday. Bases yeah, loaded, two
no
outs.
No fun at all. Looks terrible.
This is too. Not it. This is the catch. We'll do the catch next. Oh, that's right. We'll do the catch. Jace Peterson. How's this for a catch? Oh, on the mound. Bang.
Hey.
Kelly Green.
Great jerseys.
Awful really
team. Jerseys.
Great jerseys.
And possums in the press box. Only team in the majors. How about that?
They're on track for the worst record ever.
It's a good time to leave Oakland because you've really embarrassed the entire city with the teams you put on the field the
that
last decade.
That whole bullpen thing there is...
Yeah, it's weird.
God, you're taking your life in your own hands there.
It's almost like playing baseball in a football stadium. Not ideal. Weird.
Well, they're not playing football there either.
No.
No, they moved that team too. Sad. Okay, Cavalry game. Let's go back. Actually, here's Danny Jansen.
There you go.
This is not Danny.
So this is big,
Danny.
Big stakes. Two outs.
Hey, Danny. Come on, Danny.
Any bag, guys. Touch any bag. Let's go. Big crowd retro. And the place is jumping. That's going to win it. They sweep Atlanta, who are very good at baseball.
Not good enough, my friends.
Yankees coming up for four. Then the Orioles, who've been a huge surprise.
Should have stayed.
The AL East have five teams well above 500. They have the sixth best record in baseball to the Jays. They're third in their division. Wild times. Let's go to Atco Field at Spruce Meadows. Cavalry FC in action.
Be better.
Be better.
Speaking of be better, another lead for Cavalry, Rhett. Another lead?
Well, I don't like how another lead. It's I'm setting like you up. Follow up.
And
here.
Then they completely miss what should have been a penalty kick for the Cavs. They fall down 2-1. And so now they need this to tie in the second half. Great crowd. This. Beautiful day. This is live from your pal Jimmy McCreath's suite.
Jimmy.
Yeah, what a boy.
Oh, Jaime.
There's the whistle. Trotty, trotty, trot. Ho-wango.
Yeah!
Watch the end. There's a pal here. There's a pal coming in hot here. Ready? There's Anthony, our boy from Village Honda, for the Pinder Report.
Is that a product placement? Is that how that works?
Well, we had our contest we ran last week, Grant. A pair with Pinder. So it was Anthony and myself, and our two winners, Dara and Nicole. Got down to the pitch. There's Mason with the team.
How about that?
Everyone very excited. We had a great day, perfect day. And next up, I believe, next Sunday, which is
which
not...
one are you?
You really had to get your chest out.
Apparently, I'm flexing there. I didn't realize I was doing that.
You're deplorable.
Yeah, thank you. There was one with gratuitous hands just over shoulders. I thought I'd leave that one
just
out.
Just a hateable human.
Thank you very much. And they had a great time. Thanks to Mason and the Cavalry crew.
Are you done?
And last one for you, fellows. Are you a fan of a club toss in golf?
Oh, yes.
You like a good club toss?
I do love it.
This is next level. Let's go. I like a good club toss, too, but I've never seen this. Like Hosel?
Oh,
awful.
I've done that.
How's he feeling? Not so good. There's the helicopter. It's a good toss. It's not it, though. Don't need this belt anymore.
Goddamn belt.
Screw this.
Well, do you ever get the belts that pinch your belly there a little bit?
Oh, yeah. Get the hair. Ah! Hey.
Don't like that. There's a hat. So we want club, belt, shoe, hat, and
glove.
There's
glove.
The glove.
Don't eat it.
It's great work. That's how you do it, fellas. There's your Pinder Report for a Monday.
Terrible.
That's well done.
Yeah.
Northwest Auto Mall is where you'll find them. It's Village Honda, your dealership for life. Detailing packages start at just $79.95. Clean yourself. Clean up your act. Huh? Book
clean
details. All the details. Get it booked in at your dealership for life. Village Honda. Northwest Auto Mall, and Anthony, who you saw there, come in with the Cavalry. He will be there if you want to, 4 hours of your time, talk soccer. He's your man.
That's true.
And if you could call it soccer, he'll be like, hey, I can't talk to you.
No, he'll understand.
Really?
Yeah.
There you go. It's Village Honda. All right, we got some things to do here. We got
sorry about that. Long.
No, it's today's,
people.
Speaking of golf, St. Eugene.
It's getting nice out there, right?
I hope people listen because we've been telling you got the spring fling golf pass, spring swing. You got to get out. It's limited time only though. Booked from April to May 17th. So hopefully you were listening. But you know what? Even with the spring swing golf package, which expires on the 17th, maybe it's talk sweet. Maybe go on there and here's the thing. I just love that package. $259. You and a friend enjoy a night's stay and a round of golf, including power cart. You can't beat that. Look at the scenery right there. Stay out of those bunkers. get right, just drop it right on the green right there. But yes, they have the spa, the casino, the restaurants, mountains around you, that fresh mountain air. It is a beautiful spot. You go travel the globe, I dare you. And that's as beautiful as you're going to find it right there. Discover for the first time or rediscover the St. Eugene Golf Resort and Casino. There's the website, steugene.ca. 1-866-292-2020 is the phone number.
And you split aces? That's what you're saying?
Split eights.
Well, not aces. Don't
you split
aces?
You would split eights. Okay. Yeah, for sure, yeah.
Eights and aces.
Yeah.
Split them all.
Split them all. Yeah, thanks, yeah. Well, I mean, hey, if you're a riverboat gambler like you, Retro, let's do our Bet We Bets.
Let's do it.
Bet We Bets and moving on. Only one game tonight, Ryan.
Yeah.
Only
game
one game.
Seven.
One of the best. That's right. You were talking about some overs or something. About
midnight?
How...
What time does it start?
8 Eastern.
Yeah. Midnight local start.
It's a 6 Mountain Time. Welcome to the best sports viewing time zone in the world.
Pavelski's got big balls.
Yes, he
anytime
does.
Goal. Must win game. I'm going with Joe Pavelski. Anytime goal. Plus 155. And yes, you said overs. Overs. I am going, it's a little combo bet on the Betway app, over 5.5 goals and an Eberle point. Eberle's had a heck of a series for them.
Good.
Plus 200 for a point for Ebs and over 5.5 goals.
I'm hitting the over 6.5 because it's happened in 5 of the 6 games already in this series. And I'm also going to dance on Rope Hintz over 2.5 shots. He has been superb for the Stars this postseason. Shots? He might have over 2.5 goals.
Yeah, he might have over 2.5 goals. There you go. It's the Betway bets of the day. Betway app. Get it on your phone. Bet the responsible way with Betway. Tomorrow on the program, I assume we'll have our buddy Frank Cervelli, our NHL insider, going to come by. Good to have you around.
Yeah, it's great.
Might have
it's
a special guest.
That's great.
Maybe a special guest.
I don't know. Who knows? And that'll be, that
Call
can be
pals.
Separate than what we're doing. I don't know what we're going to do.
True.
Enjoy game. So who's winning? Game 7?
Seattle.
Stars.
That's it.
We're sticking with our picks.
See you tomorrow, buddies.
What's the name
the
of the show?
Oilers proved they suck.
There you have it.
It's a fact.
Bye, buddies.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.